laughter. You haven't hit a single home run this season.
Well, Benji said, wrinkling his brow before snapping his finger. Batman and Robin, then. He's the Batman, knocking it out of the park, and I'm robbing bases all over the place. Get it?
You have, like, 2 steals in the past 2 months, Jaden said.
Yeah, see? I'm Robin, out there stealing bases, Benji said, with a deadly serious look. Why do you have to get all caught up in numbers all the time, anyway? I thought you wanted to win a Pulitzer one day. Don't you have to be, like, creative to do that? Use your creativity here, will you?
The bell rang. They picked up their garbage and headed for the hall.
I think I'll stick with the Ronnie Lott angle, Jaden said. Josh taking a scar for the team. Besides, there's still one more team to qualify for the tournament from out on the West Coast, so I have to wait for them to be completely accurate with my numbers. I've got a study hall 8th period. I think I'll text my editor at the Post Standard. I'll let you guys know what he says in history.
With English, math, and Spanish between lunch and history, as well as the constant worry about having his face cut open in 2 days' time, Josh forgot all about Jaden's newspaper story until he saw her and Benji huddled up outside their last class of the day, having a serious discussion.
Hey, he said, noticing the expression on Jaden's face. What's up? Editor didn't like the idea?
Well, he liked it, Jaden said. I mean, he gets it. You being the big star of the team and doing what you're doing, but...
Yeah? Josh said, nearly laughing at her look of distress.
Well, Jaden said, looking down and shaking her head, I don't think you're exactly going to be the big story I thought you were, Josh. I know you don't care too much about that stuff anyway, so that's good.
What are you talking about? Josh asked as the bell to class rang.
Why wouldn't I?
There's a bigger story happening in the Hall of Fame tournament, Jaden said.
It's a huge story. You'll hear about it. It'll be on the news. I mean, I can't believe it myself.
I'll hear it? What are you talking about? Josh asked. Come on, you guys. Just tell me.
Chapter 10
I was wrong, Jaden said with a worried look. You're not the favorite team to win anymore.
What? Josh said, chuckling. Your numbers weren't right. That's no big deal.
We're no big deal, Benji said, sulking.
What do you mean, we're no big deal? Josh asked.
SportsCenter, Batman and Robin, poof, Benji said. Up in smoke.
Enough with the riddles, Josh said, and tell me what you're talking about.
Mickey Mullen Jr., Jaden said.
Mickey Mullen? Who, the baseball player? Josh asked.
No. The former Boston Red Sox Hall of Famer, 3-time Cy Young Award winner, star of Baseball Nights, Crossfire, and Bloody Monday Mickey Mullen, Benji said.
That Mickey Mullen.
But who's Mickey Mullen Jr.? Josh asked.
He's not so junior, Benji said. He's as big as you.
That's the story, Jaden said. It's Mickey's son. I never even knew Mickey Mullen had a son who played. The team's from L.A.
And they're the last team from the West Coast you were talking about? Josh said.
Right,
Jaden said.
Yeah, they won some tournament championship game in Newport last night, Benji said. And now this guy's stealing our thunder.
Still, Jaden said, you have to admit it's pretty exciting. I mean, you get to go up against a guy whose dad is a legend. They say Mickey Jr. is following right in his footsteps, too.
The bell rang for class. Josh felt his mouth drop open as that sinking feeling returned. When Josh got home, he found his father under the kitchen sink, banging on the disposal with a wrench.
I swear,
his father said, wriggling out of the cabinet and struggling to sit up.
I can't wait. Hey, killer, how's the face?
Hurts, Josh said, setting his backpack down on the kitchen table and puffing up with pride. His dad had never called him killer before, and Josh suspected it was because of how he was handling his injury.
Can't wait for what?
His dad raised an eyebrow.
Oh, nothing. Hire a plumber, I guess.
Why don't you? Josh asked.
His dad shrugged.
Oh, you know. Being careful is all. Don't worry, we're fine. It's just that you don't get to save up too much money playing in the minors. That's why, even though she is overreacting about this surgery thing, your mom's right about college.
Josh nodded and took the milk out of the fridge to pour himself a glass. A plate of his mom's oatmeal cookies was sitting on the table.
Hey, Josh said, did you hear about Mickey Mullen?
Josh's dad scooped up his tools and dropped them noisily into his metal toolbox.
Oh, that, he said. It might make the tournament like this grease on my hands. Messy. But we'll get the job done. You gotta be confident. Besides, it's a good thing for the tournament.
Why? Josh asked, taking a cookie.
Money makes the world go round, his father said, drying his hands. That's why.
Josh set the cookie back down on the plate and said,
Money?
A tournament needs sponsors like Nike and Pepsi and a TV contract with ESPN, his dad said. That's the real world.
His father stared at him for a moment, seeing if he got it, before he said,
The organizers are trying to make this the biggest thing in Little League Baseball. Bigger than the Little League World Series, bigger than the Junior Olympics, and they're on their way. So a guy like Mickey Mullen shows up with his son? Please, that's a no-brainer.
I don't know why you're so casual about it, Josh said. I thought we really want to win this thing.
Of course I want to win.
And his son's supposed to be good, Josh said. Benji said he's as big as I am.
At nearly 6 feet tall, Josh had only heard of one other 12-year-old bigger than he was, and that kid played basketball for Bishop Ludden, the Catholic school on the west side.
He is,
his dad said, turning his back to Josh so he could wash his hands in the sink.
Supposed to be a heck of a player, too. Pitcher like his old man.
You think they could beat us?
Anyone could beat us, his dad said. But if we're the best, we'll win. I told you before you can't be afraid of a good rival. And this Mickey Jr. may be the best rival you've ever seen. You should be chomping at the bit to step up to the plate against this guy. You'll have to be at your best.
I am chomping at the bit, Josh said. I'm having the operation, aren't I? I have to do this.
His father studied him for a minute before he said,
You don't have to, Josh. Don't think that. You never have to play. That's the beauty of sports. You play because you want to. You love to.
I do, Josh said.
Good,
his father said with a nod, picking his tools back up.
Where are you going? Josh asked.
The roof, his dad said. To start getting some new shingles put on before dinner so we can lose that blue tarp. I've got practice right after we eat.
You mean we've got practice? Josh said.
No, not we, I, his dad said. You're not going.
Josh felt his heart skip a beat.
Why?
Your face, his dad said. It looks so bad it's hurting me.
Gee, thanks.
His father grinned.
I'm kidding. I don't want you even around a baseball until it's totally safe. You just take it easy, we'll get this operation behind us, you'll heal up, and we'll go win that thing.
You really think we can win it? Josh asked. Even against the L.A. Comets, with Mickey Mullen's son pitching?
A worried look passed across his father's face, like the shadow of an airplane, before he said,
I told you, you gotta be confident to win.
Chapter 11. Josh had his operation. The healing process seemed to take forever, especially with him having to watch practices from behind the backstop until the stitches could come out. On the Saturday morning, the week before the tournament, he finally had the stitches removed. His dad took him out to their practice field, only not with the rest of the team. It was just the two of them. From his duffel bag, Josh's dad removed a dark blue foam mask that looked like something a hockey goalie might wear.
Here, his dad said. Try it on.
Josh gave him a quizzical look.
It was part of the deal I cut with your mom, his dad said. You get to play, but only if you wear the mask. Don't even start with me. She's worried about you. That's why we love her.
Josh put on the mask and tugged his cap down, then stepped up to the plate. His father carried a basket of balls to the mound.
Okay, his dad said. Let's make sure you're over it.
I am, Dad, Josh said, huffing. I told you 100 times.
I know what you said, his father said, but you took a heck of a shot. I want to make sure you can stand there and read a pitch. Your vision is your gift. There aren't many players who can see the ball the way you can, but getting hit like that can be a distraction, even to a major league player.
Josh nodded and readied his bat. His father, who had pitched for 13 years in the minor leagues, wound up and let one fly. Josh blinked and lost it. He swung and missed. The ball clanged into the metal backstop.
You okay?
His dad asked. Fine, Josh said. Just pitch it. His father threw 3 more pitches, and Josh missed them all. His eyes began to fill with tears. He brushed one back and ground his teeth. His father left the mound and put an arm around his shoulder.
Relax, he said. You're trying too hard. Might take some time.
No, Josh said, wagging his head angrily. It can't. I'm ready. Give me another, Dad. Please. His father sighed, but returned to the mound. When Josh stepped into the batter's box, his dad wound up again. Chapter 12. Josh widened his eyes, forcing them to stay open. He concentrated so hard that the pitch passed him by without him even swinging.
What happened?
His father asked. I'm okay, Josh shouted. I saw it. I didn't swing, but I didn't blink either.
Good,
his father said, grinning wide. Josh nicked the next pitch, dribbling it to the mound, then lit into the one after that, driving it into the hole between first and second. The next one he hammered, sending it over the fence. His father grinned and kept them coming. Pitch after pitch, he threw and Josh hammered them all. When the basket of balls was empty, his father jogged to home plate, hugged him, and swung him in the air.
You did it, Josh, his father said. You're ready.
When they got back home, Josh's parents took his little sister, him, and his friends to Green Lake State Park for the afternoon. They took over a picnic table and spread a big blanket out on the grass overlooking the aqua green water that sparkled like a gem under the hot sun. Josh's dad played the Eagles' Greatest Hits on their boombox while he drank a soda and flipped sizzling burgers on the iron grill. Josh's mom took his sister down to the water while Josh lay between his two friends, looking up through the orange glow of his eyelids at the sunspots drifting across his vision. His skin baked comfortably, cooled from time to time by a fretful breeze. Jaden started chattering about Mickey Mullen Jr., a topic she'd been on all week and one he didn't relish hearing about.
How do you know he's so good? Josh said. You keep talking about his statistics, but you haven't actually seen him play. He might not be so great. He might just be playing against easy teams.
That seemed to quiet her down. Josh gently dabbed at the gauze his mom had insisted on taping to his face to protect the healing wound from the sun, even though it was pretty well healed. Jaden's silence on the subject of Mickey Mullen Jr. and the comfort of lying in the heat made Josh sigh. Laughter and music from the crowded park around them blended into a lulling symphony. Josh thought he might even fall asleep. That's when Benji's stomach gurgled.
Can't wait to tear into those burgers, Benji said dreamily.
Hey, Jaden, Josh said, his own eyes still closed. You think I could keep my batting average up over 500 in this tournament?
Maybe.
Who knows? Jaden said, yawning and nudging him with an elbow hard enough to make him sit up.
Hey, put some on my back, will you? I'm turning over. Time to get some work done.
Jaden handed him a bottle of lotion and scooted her butt around on the towel, holding the wild shock of hair up off her back so he could spread the creamy lotion on her bronze shoulders. Josh stole a look at Benji, who was grinning up at him, puckering his lips and winking. Josh shook his head and lathered her back up anyway.
What work? Josh asked as Jaden opened the school backpack she'd brought along with her.
This, she said,
removing several books that he recognized as biographies on Mickey Mullen. And this and this. She added several magazines to the pile before taking out her notebook and pen, adjusting her white plastic sunglasses, and then settling onto her stomach. "I get SI for kids," Josh said, sitting up and shading his eyes from the sun. "But Teen Beat? What's that got to do with baseball?"
"Background from Mickey Jr.," Jaden said somberly. "There's articles on him in both of them."
"What, like dating Taylor Swift?" Benji said, grinning and slapping his round belly.
"No, they're just friends,"
Jaden said, opening one of the magazines. "Wait," Benji said, sitting straight. "You've got to be kidding. You're not serious."
"That's the headline. Mickey Jr. and Taylor, just friends."
"I'm barfing," Benji said. "Better slow down on those burgers, Mr. LeBlanc. I'm so sick of hearing you talk about Mickey Mullen and his mullet head son."
"Mullet head," Josh said, laughing. "That's a good one, Benji."
"Why is he a mullet head?"
Jaden asked, casting a fiery look at Benji and then Josh.
"Because he is,"
Benji said, lying back and stuffing a pair of mirrored sunglasses on his face.
"Maybe he wouldn't be such a mullet head if we didn't have to hear about him 24/7, Josh said.
"Hopefully, I'll get to ask him about Taylor Swift myself,"
Jaden said, biting down on her pen and nodding, obviously choosing to ignore Benji and him.
"I put a request in through the newspaper to their PR person to sit down with him. I should be hearing back any time. Think how big that would be."
"All right," Benji said, staring up at the sun and speaking in a tone of complete boredom. "Like they'll talk to you."
"They might,"
Jaden said, without looking up at Benji.
"I already heard back from the tournament's PR person, and she said the Mullens are going to be giving the media all kinds of access during this thing, even the local media. That's me, right? So..."
Benji whipped off his glasses and fired an annoyed look at Josh. Josh shrugged, screwed on the cap to the suntan lotion, and lay back down. He listened to Jaden snapping through her pages and to Benji's increasingly hostile stomach until his dad said the burgers were ready. His dad put the burgers out in the middle of the table with everything else before he went off to retrieve Josh's mom and sister. Jaden jumped up and slipped on her sandals before putting on a big t-shirt to cover her pink bathing suit.
"Where are you going?" Benji said.
"You ever hear of washing your hands, Lido?"
she said before marching off toward the bathrooms.
"Your hands don't get dirty if you don't read those trashy magazines," Benji called after her.
"Forget it, Benji," Josh said. "Let's eat."
"She gets me so crazy with all that Mickey Mullen junk,"
Benji said, picking two burgers off the plate with his bare fingers and slapping them down on a bun.
"Aren't you sick of it?"
"Kind of," Josh said, watching Jaden disappear among the crowd. "Actually, yes, a lot. But I guess she's just excited about writing the story."
"You notice how all of a sudden she's not so interested in your game?"
Benji said, slathering ketchup on his burgers, capping them off with the top bun, and raising an eyebrow at him before taking a huge bite.
"I mean, you ask her about your batting average, and all she can do is have you rub suntan oil on her back."
"Kind of."
"Yeah, why?" Benji said through his food. "I'll tell you, because she's in love with this Mickey Jr. It's not the story and her Pulitzer Prize. She thinks she's Taylor Swift."
Anger and resentment swirled in Josh's stomach, but he said nothing.
"Hey,"
Benji said, letting go of his burgers and fishing his cell phone out of his bathing suit pocket.
"Didn't Jaden say her dad had to work like some 12-hour shift? I got an idea. How do you block the number you're calling from?"
"Dial *67, then the number," Josh said, watching Benji dial.
"Remember that voice you'd make when we made fun of that mean bus driver we used to have?" Benji asked.
"Sure," Josh said.
"Remember we fooled her own husband with it?"
The muted ring from Jaden's phone sounded off from inside her backpack beside the picnic table's leg.
"Okay," Benji said, handing Josh his phone. "Use that voice. I'll tell you exactly what to say."
Chapter 13.
Josh's parents returned with his little sister. His dad put Laurel into a high chair that clipped onto the side of the picnic table, and his mom began to feed her chunks of hamburger, half of which she tossed about the table and grass.
"Now that's what I call quality grub," Benji said, slapping his naked gut and burping loudly. "Excuse me."
"Thank you for the burgers, Mr. LeBlanc," Jaden said, wiping her mouth on a napkin. "And the potato salad was delicious, Mrs. LeBlanc. Thank you for lunch." "You have very nice manners," Josh's mom said to Jaden, patting her arm.
Benji rolled his eyes at Josh and pretended to stick a finger down his throat. It wasn't often that someone beat him to the punch on manners. Then Benji pointed, silently clapping with delight, as Jaden returned to the blanket and took the cell phone out of her pack. Josh turned his attention to Jaden too, and a feeling of dread crept into his bones as he realized they'd probably taken things too far. She stood listening to the message on her phone, the excitement building on her face until she bounced up and down and squealed.
"Oh my gosh,"
she said, holding the phone out and looking at it like it was a friend.
"Oh my gosh, I've got to get to New York City. Mr. LeBlanc, I hate to ask you, but my dad has rounds until midnight, and I have to get there."
"Why do you have to get to New York, dear?" Josh's mom asked.
"Oh my gosh," Jaden said, jumping up and down. "I just got a call from Mickey Mullen's publicist. They're in New York, and he agreed to give me an interview. They saw my request and was so impressed with a 12-year-old girl writing for a newspaper. That's what they said. And he's in New York for some movie thing and some time freed up on his schedule, and they said all I have to do is get there."
"We've got a dinner with my assistant coaches and their wives tonight, Jaden," Josh's dad said. "So I can't take you, even if your dad would let you go."
"Hey," Benji said, pointing to the family at the next picnic table over from them.
"I heard those people talking. They're from New York. I heard them talking about how they were leaving early to beat the traffic back into the city. You should just ask them."
Jaden didn't even hesitate. She marched right over to them.
"Jaden," Josh's mom said, "you can't just..."
But Jaden didn't hear. She was on a mission. The father of the small family was tall and skinny, with pale skin gone beet red from the sun. He stood chewing on a cucumber as he flipped a rack of vegetables on his grill. His wife, a heavy woman wearing a white one-piece bathing suit with the face of a duck on her big tummy, guzzled down a Dr. Pepper as she fed Twinkies to her screaming twin boys.
"Hi, folks,"
Jaden said, her Texas drawl coming out the way it did when she got nervous or excited, talking fast without even thinking.
"I hate to interrupt, but my friend happened to overhear that you all are from New York City and heading back today, and I really would like to just catch a ride down there with you all, if you don't mind. I know it's a strange thing to ask someone you don't even know, but I have an interview with Mickey Mullen, you know, the baseball player and movie star that I have to get there for. I mean, I'd have to get permission from my dad and all, but you've got kids of your own, so maybe he'd say yes. You never know. I mean, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime deal, so do you think you could help me?"
The big woman blinked at Jaden while one of the little boys pawed at her leg, mewling for another Twinkie.
"Eddie," she said accusingly to her husband, "do you know this girl?"
The husband let the hand with the cucumber fall to his side as he shook his head.
"Are you on drugs?"
the big woman asked.
"No,"
Jaden said, stammering.
It's just that..."
"We're from Schenectady," the lady said.
"I..."
Jaden said, pointing back toward Benji.
"Are you sure?"
"Are we sure, Eddie?"
the wife asked.
"I am,"
Eddie, the husband, said, his Adam's apple bobbing.
"Oh,"
Jaden said, her shoulders falling.
"I'm awfully sorry."
Jaden marched back toward their picnic table, her face red and tears brimming in her eyes. Benji howled and pointed.
"Did you see that guy's face?"
Benji said, laughing.
"She's so hot for a Mickey Mullen exclusive that she just asked two complete strangers for a ride."
"What are you two up to?" Josh's mom asked. Josh shrugged. Benji grinned and said,
"Just kidding around a little."
Jaden stopped in front of Josh.
That was you on my voicemail, wasn't it? There is no Mickey Mullen interview. Yeah, that's how bad I wanted it. You got me to make a complete fool out of myself. Are you proud?
Josh shrugged and forced a weak laugh.
We were just kidding around. From this goofball, I expect it,
Jaden said, pointing at Benji, who didn't seem to mind the insult.
But you? It was a joke,
Josh said with a weak smile. Jaden looked at him for a moment, then said,
That stinks.
She turned and just walked away, heading straight for the water, where she waded out to her knees before diving in and disappearing beneath the sparkling surface. Benji flopped back down on the blanket, still chortling to himself as he plastered the sunglasses onto his face. Josh's dad scooped up a pile of paper plates, cups, and empty cans and headed for a nearby trash can, shaking his head. Josh turned to his mom and asked,
What should I do?
She looked up from cleaning his little sister's face and said,
Go tell her you're sorry, Josh. We didn't mean anything bad, he said.
His mom gave him a hard look and said, I saw the way you and Benji acted when she talked about Mickey Mullen and his son, so I don't think you should try to tell me that you didn't mean anything bad. I don't think that's quite truthful.
Well,
Josh said, looking down at the grass and picking a few thin blades with his bare toes before he looked back up.
Do you think she'll forgive me?
His mom's eyes drifted to the spot where Jaden had disappeared beneath the water's green surface.
I don't know, but she's your good friend, so you better go try.
Chapter 14. The very next week, their bus pulled into the Beaver Valley campsite in the pouring rain. The cabins looked dreary on the hillside under the eaves of a dark green woods that carpeted the mountains as far as the eye could see. The bus stopped in a gravel lot next to the main lodge, and everyone piled out into the storm, grabbing their duffel bags from under the bus and trudging to their cabins through the puddles. Jaden and her doctor dad, who had decided to make a vacation out of her writing assignment, headed toward one of the smaller cabins at the far end of the line.
Can I help you?
Josh asked Jaden, reaching for one of her two big suitcases.
I got it,
she said, snatching it away from him. Josh stood and watched her go, crestfallen, until she twisted her head around and said,
Thanks anyway, though.
It wasn't much, but Josh was grateful for even a small sign that she had forgiven him for the prank he and Benji had pulled on her at Green Lakes. Since then, things hadn't been the same between them. He was hoping that the time they'd get to spend together during the coming week might change that and get things back to normal. Josh carried his mom's and sister's bags along with his own while his dad held an umbrella to protect his mom and sleeping sister as they walked.
Use that for Josh,
his mom said.
No, Mom,
Josh said.
Why?
You've got to keep that incision dry, she said.
Mom, cut it out. That was until I got the stitches out,
he said, tracing a fingertip along the ridge of scar tissue running across his cheekbone. He remembered the color of his face in the mirror that very morning. The bruising had faded over the weeks from a deep purple to a sickly yellow, and the scarlet gash had begun to grow pink. At least his eye worked, and he could play. His mom gave him a worried look, patting Laurel's head, which was slumped on her shoulder, as she said,
I just don't like it. It looks, well, I don't know, very sore. I'm sorry.
I'm fine, Mom, Josh said.
Really? I haven't even taken an Advil in over a week. It's all good, and I'm ready to go.
Laura,
his father said, taking her by the arm.
Come on. Josh won't melt.
Josh followed, and Benji slogged along beside him without looking up. Halfway to the cabin, Benji said,
I can't believe you won't give me the top bunk.
Lido, Josh said, dropping his hand from his face. You bounced around up there like a monkey the last time we shared a bunk. The spring squeaked in my face all night, and I kept thinking you'd be busting through.
You can't be a heavy hitter if you're a lightweight,
Benji said, stamping in a puddle.
Look at Manny Ramirez. Look at the babe.
The babe? That was back in the 30s, Josh said. Nutrition was like a bacon sandwich.
animal protein, Benji said, nodding. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm taking top, Josh said.
All this freaking mud, Benji said, stamping. I'm going to have your footprints all over my sleeping bag.
Just because you stepped on my bed to get to the top doesn't mean I'll do it to you, Josh said. That's what the ladder is for. I kept telling you that.
I'd appreciate that courtesy, Benji said in earnest, hurrying now to hold the door open for Josh's family as they wiped their feet on the rope mat of the cabin's front porch.
Benji, you are such a gentleman, Josh's mom said, holding Laurel tight as she slipped quietly into the cabin to lay her down on the bed.
Josh rolled his eyes. See? Benji said as they shed their wet coats and dumped their bags down inside the tiny back bedroom. I'm like a magnet for women.
That's my mom, Leto.
Benji shrugged. I'm just saying, you can't turn it on and off. You're either suave or you're not.
Suave?
Josh said, unrolling his sleeping bag on the striped mattress of the top bunk.
That's like a shampoo.
Suave means smooth, Benji said. Sophisticated, stylish, hip, a chick magnet.
Leto, Josh said, sometimes I think it was you who got hit by a beanball.
In the front room, Josh's mom worked in the tiny kitchenette while his dad stood holding back the curtain and looking out over the baseball field and a murky pond.
Hope it stops soon so we can get in a little practice after dinner, he said. Get tuned up for tomorrow.
You think we'll even play tomorrow? Josh asked, eyeing the thick gray sky.
Forecast is sunshine, his dad said. Depends on if it dries out. This field is a mud hole, but the Dream Park fields are supposed to be the latest and greatest, all 16 of them. I'm sure they've got good drainage.
Can we go into town with the guys? Josh asked. Someone said the camp has a shuttle bus that goes every hour, and we want to see the Hall of Fame.
Sure, his dad said. I'd go with you, but I promised your mom I'd help get unpacked. You guys just be back by dinner.
I don't know, Josh's mom said, turning from the refrigerator and wringing her hands. Maybe you should rest.
Mom, seriously, cut it out, Josh said. I'm going to look like a freak out there as it is. You don't have to treat me like one.
You're not going to look like a freak, his mom said, referring to the dark blue padded mask that would protect his face. You'll look like a child with parents who care about his health and well-being.
Actually, Benji said, you kind of look like Jason from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Everyone turned to stare at Benji.
No, but I mean in a good way, Benji said, blushing and holding up his hands. Like, you'll scare the other team. I mean in a good way. Scare, like, intimidate them. Give us that winning edge. You need an edge, right, Coach LeBlanc? You say that, right?
Josh's dad sighed heavily.
That's right, Benji.
Benji nodded proudly.
Come on, Josh said. Take the umbrella, Josh's mom said. And you two make sure you ask Jaden. She's your friend, and you don't want her feeling uncomfortable with all these boys.
Of course, Josh said, leading Benji by the arm. Not that you have to worry about Jaden.
She's very shy, his mom said.
Yeah, but she's never uncomfortable, Josh said, creaking open the cabin door and stepping out onto the porch before snapping open the umbrella. She doesn't care what anyone thinks.
You better believe that, Benji said, scooping up his Red Sox hat and following Josh out the door.
I told her she shouldn't pull her hair back like that, and she told me if she wanted my opinion, she'd submit a request in writing.
So far, nothing.
Nothing what? Josh asked.
In writing.
Josh studied his friend's face for a moment before Benji pointed over his shoulder and said,
Hey, look, Jaden.
They slogged through the puddles along the gravel path, following Jaden toward the main lodge, shouting her name over the steady hiss of rain until she pulled up short in a shiny red raincoat with a hood.
Hey, guys, she said, looking slightly nervous. What's up?
We were going to come get you, Josh said.
Baseball Hall of Fame is what's up.
Picture with me next to the Babe statue, Benji said. Kind of a next generation thing. You know, heavy hitter from the past and the future. Figure I can market signed copies on eBay.
Oh, Jaden said.
It was a joke, really,
Benji said, obviously disappointed not to get a rise out of Jaden.
I'm going to get mine with Hank Aaron. Hammer and Hank, Josh said. That's my man.
Nice, Jaden said stiffly.
Hey, Josh said, pointing toward the driveway of the main lodge. In front of the shabby-looking powder-blue shuttle bus with Beaver Valley Campsite painted in chipped letters on the side rested a long, sleek limousine. The car glowed white like a spaceship, with smoky windows trimmed in little blue lights and the rain spattering uselessly off it.
I wonder who that's for, Benji said.
Jaden glanced over and bit her lower lip.
I think it's for me.
You?
Benji said.
You're kidding,
Josh said.
What for?
Chapter 15. Before Jaden could answer, a man in black livery wearing a driver's cap and tie slipped out of the limousine and strode their way with an umbrella.
Would you happen to be Miss Niedermeyer? The man asked with a British accent, his mouth showing off strong white teeth beneath a silver mustache.
Yes,
Jaden said. Quite right, the man said, moving the umbrella to shield her from the rain. This way, please, miss.
Benji laughed and stared in disbelief.
You gotta be kidding me.
There's a press conference, Jaden said, a spark in her eye. So, despite your bad joke, I am going to get to interview Mickey Mullen after all.
You're taking a limo? Josh said.
They sent it, Jaden said.
Who? Josh asked. Jaden's honey-colored face flushed.
Well, I think it's the tournament, but it might be the Comets.
Yes, miss, the chauffeur said. The Comets, and we do need to get going. We're picking up several newspaper reporters who'll be flying in from Los Angeles with the Mullins.
There's no airport,
Josh said, wrinkling his eyes at the driver. The driver cleared his throat and said, There's a private airfield. Miss?
I thought you were supposed to be covering our team,
Benji said, casting an angry look at Jaden, then the driver.
These guys are from halfway across the globe.
Bud Poliquin, my editor at the Post Standard, said that he'd love to have me do a story on the Comets if I got the chance,
Jaden said.
Come on, Benji, be serious. It's Mickey Mullen.
Mullen schmullen, Benji said, turning to walk away. Come on, Josh, let's go see the Babe statue. Josh followed Benji toward the shuttle bus, watching Jaden as the driver held the door for her so she could slip inside the limo. He and Benji climbed the stairs and found a husky lady with glasses and a Red Sox cap chomping gum behind the wheel of the shuttle bus.
Hey, Benji said brightly, touching his cap. Go Red Sox, right?
Welcome aboard the Beaver Valley campsite shuttle,
she said without expression, banging the door shut with a hand lever.
Bus picks up in town every hour. No gum, candy, food, or drinks allowed on the bus. No standing up, no pictures inside the bus, because those flashes drive me nuts.
We're going to the Baseball Hall of Fame, please, Josh said as they sat down in a torn seat.
Just one stop,
the grumpy lady said, blowing a bubble and firing up the engine.
In the center of town. It's not too far, though.
Couldn't you just swing by there? Benji said with his most winning grin. The rain's coming down in buckets.
For a fellow Sox fan and all.
The driver swung around and glared at him.
This look like a taxi cab to you? It's a shuttle bus. Yeah, I love the Sox. A lot of people do. I got two eyes and two ears like you, too. That doesn't mean I'm taking you home for dinner.
The smile on Benji's face melted.
You believe that?
Benji said, thumping his head against the glass as the limo pulled away.
Jaden's doing Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, while we're stuck with this crazy old bat.
Some friend.
Come on, Lido,
Josh said. What do you want her to do? You'd take a ride in that thing if they asked you.
I'll have my own limo before you know it,
Benji said, grumbling and pulling his cap down low.
I don't need a ride in anyone else's.
The bus pulled out after the long white limo, but they quickly lost sight of it as the bus rattled slowly along. When they pulled into a grocery store, Benji sat up straight and gripped the seat back in front of them.
Hey, what's up, lady? He asked.
The driver adjusted her cap and stepped down off the bus.
Gotta pick up a few things. You two just sit tight.
Jeez, Benji said, watching her. You get that? She can't drop us at the Hall of Fame, but she can stop for groceries. You gotta be kidding me.
We'll get there, Josh said, resting his chin on the seat back. When the driver finally emerged, carrying two cartons of milk in a plastic bag, Benji slapped his hand on the seat. As they drove into town, Benji pointed at an old brick building.
There it is! Hey, lady, just let us out!
No unauthorized stops, she said without looking back.
The bus continued on for two more blocks and pulled to a stop at the curb where several rain-drenched visitors stood waiting under an awning. Josh followed Benji down the aisle to get off the bus. At the bottom step, Benji turned around.
Lady, Benji said, honestly, it's people like you who give Red Sox fans a bad name.
And you two brats can find your own way back, the driver said. I don't have to take your abuse.
Whatever, Benji said, stepping down and flicking his hand in the air.
Lido, Josh said, hustling to catch up.
You screwball. Now how are we going to get back?
Stop worrying, Benji said, flipping his hood up over his hat.
Let's just get there.
They trudged silently through the rain, back up the street leading to the Hall of Fame. When they arrived, they saw that not one but seven stretch limousines had arrived. A small crowd of people was moving through the courtyard and in through the center of three arched entryways.
There she is, Benji said. At the front of the line, Miss Fancy Pants, all snug and dry.
To change the subject, as they got into line, Josh pointed up at the faded brick building and said,
Just look at it, Lido. The Hall of Fame. Everyone who loves baseball comes to this place. Everyone in the world.
Yeah, Benji said, looking around. I could use a hot dog or something. When they got to the ticket booth, the man pushed his glasses up higher on his nose and studied them for a moment before he said,
Sorry, part of the museum's west wing is temporarily closed due to the press conference. You're welcome to come in and see the exhibits that aren't blocked off, but access to the entire museum won't resume until 5:30.
5:30? Josh said, turning to Benji. That's too late. We've got to be back by dinner, and we don't even know how we're getting back.
Can we see the Babe statue? Benji asked, his hands plastered against the window of the ticket booth.
And Hammer and Hanks, Josh said.
The man said, running his finger over a map he had in front of him.
No, sorry, you'll have to wait to see them. They're holding the press conference at the auditorium near the Mickey Mullen exhibit. He's here, you know.
Imagine that, Benji said to the man. Remind me to get his autograph. On a roll of toilet paper.
The man frowned. You two going in or not?
We got these passes, Josh said, taking his out of his pocket. We're playing in the tournament. Can you let us in and give us, like, a rain check so we can come back to see the rest of it?
Sorry, the man said. One time only. I'd like to, but those are the rules.
Maybe we can get some more of these, Josh said to Benji.
Yeah, Benji said, slapping his pass down for the ticket man. Let's go.
Inside, a woman in a red skirt and white blouse with her back to them hooked up a velvet rope to block the doorway that led into the part of the exhibition where the press had gone. Josh looked around at the balls, bats, pennants, pictures, uniforms behind glass, and bronze statues from all the most famous players and teams the game had ever seen. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
Benji, Josh said softly. If Jaden can go in there with all those other people, I just can't see the harm if we slid in there too. This place is all about realizing your dreams, right?
Yeah, but I'm not dreaming of a jail cell, Benji said.
Come on, Josh said, eyeing the red velvet ropes and the woman guarding them. No one's going to put two kids angling to see their hero statues behind bars.
I don't know, Benji said, wrinkling his brow. She's standing right there. I don't see how the heck we're going to get past her.
Shh, Josh said. I got a plan. Follow me and don't say anything.
Chapter 16. Josh took one step, then started to jog toward the woman and the red velvet rope. He waved his arms frantically and said,
Lady, lady, that guy in the ticket booth, I think he needs help.
The woman spun around.
He collapsed or something, Josh said, his voice filled with fake panic. The guy with the glasses.
Yeah, Benji said, pointing back toward the entrance. His face turned all purple and he keeled over. Hurry!
The woman's eyes went wide and her mouth became an O. She took off, running with her high heels clacking along the floor. Josh took Benji's arm, stepped over the rope, and tugged him along.
Man, Josh, Benji said in an urgent whisper, this is great!
His face turned purple? Josh said.
Geez, Benji, you know I got a flair for the dramatic, Benji said. Did you see her take off?
Come on, Josh said. Let's get out of here before she figures it out. They rounded a corner and heard someone talking over a loudspeaker in a large hall, then a flurry of applause. They hurried past the crowd that stood watching the people up on a small stage at the end of the large space and soon lost their way in a deeper maze of empty passageways, displays, and small rooms. They walked quietly in the stillness and spoke in hushed voices so they could listen for the coming footsteps of the lady by the rope, just in case she decided to pursue them, or maybe something worse, like security guards.
Man, Benji said after a while in a regular voice, where's the babe?
I think we just passed this way, Josh said, keeping his voice down. There's Ty Cobb's cleats again.
Yeah, imagine those things coming at you full speed, Benji said, loudly now. They'd punch a hole in your lung if he hit you right. But we gotta find the babe.
We'll keep it down. We can't ask anyone now, that's for sure. Come on, Josh said, checking his watch and doing his best to enjoy the sights and ignore the feeling of dread that crept into his bones whenever he did something he knew he shouldn't really be doing. They wandered some more and ended up right back at Ty Cobb's cleats.
You gotta be kidding me, Benji said, stamping around a couple more bends too quickly to look at anything before they stopped again.
That's when they heard someone coming. Chapter 17. Josh ducked between a large glass display on the evolution of the catcher's mitt and the brick wall behind it, crouching low beside the wooden base and worming his way deeper in to make room for Benji, whose eyes had grown as large as grapefruits. The voices kept coming. Benji gripped Josh's arm and froze.
What are they going to do to us, right?
Josh whispered hopefully into Benji's ear. Benji's grip tightened, and he said,
arrest us, that's what.
For what? Josh asked, his heart chilled.
I don't know, Benji said with a quavering voice. Trespassing or criminal mischief or something? Shh!
Josh held still and listened, and soon realized that the one voice belonged to a boy no older than them.
So this is it, the boy said, his footsteps stopping almost next to Josh and Benji's hiding place. Sandy Koufax.
Really? Not your dad?
A girl's voice asked. It had a slight southern lilt to it.
He was the best, the boy said, as if he hadn't heard her question. But he wouldn't play on Rosh Hashanah no matter what. I mean, who does things like that anymore?
Hey! Benji said, wriggling free from their hiding place before Josh could stop him.
Jaden, what's up?
Josh, come on out, man. It's just Jaden.
Josh felt his face go hot with embarrassment as he struggled to get free. When he did, he noticed the gray powder of dust covering Benji's dark hair and shoulders. He looked down at his own clothes and realized he, too, was covered in dust.
So who's that?
Benji asked, pointing at the boy.
Hi, the boy said, extending a hand to Benji. I'm Mickey Mullen.
Josh knew his name before he said it. Mickey Mullen Jr. had wheat blonde hair like his father, only curly. His skin was tan and his eyes pale blue. The smooth skin on his face reminded Josh of a statue he'd seen in an advertisement. Michelangelo's statue, David. Josh touched the scar on his own discolored face. Mickey wasn't as thick as Josh, but he stood just as tall, and he smiled sheepishly when Benji stared at his hand like it was a rotten fish. Josh looked at Jaden, who scowled and said to Mickey,
"Don't mind Lido.
He wears his shirt so tight they cause a serious oxygen deficiency to the brain.
What's that supposed to mean?
Benji asked, scowling right back and tugging on the collar of his t-shirt. I'm Josh, Josh said, shaking Mickey's hand and returning his smile. She's right, don't mind him. He doesn't really mean it.
This guy's the enemy, Benji said, raising his voice. Are you two kidding me? Look at this guy. All that's missing is his surfboard.
Jaden stepped closer to Mickey and touched his hand. Come on, Mickey. Thanks for showing me.
What is he, like your new boyfriend?
Benji said, pointing to Jaden's hand. Jaden snatched her hand away from Mickey's and glared at Benji. Easy, fathead.
Now I'm a fathead?
Benji said, raising his voice to a roar.
You turn traitor to the Titans and you cheat on Josh, and that makes me a fathead?
I'm not cheating on anyone, Jaden shouted. Josh isn't my boyfriend. He doesn't even like me like that. We're just friends.
Josh sighed and covered his face with one hand as he shook his head. Then he heard a sound that made him even sicker.
There they are!
The woman from the velvet rope shouted. She nudged the security guards who accompanied her.
Those two right there!
Chapter 18. One guard's hand bit into Josh's shoulder while the other ones clamped down on Benji.
Let's go,
Josh's guard said in a low, rough voice. Josh hung his head and let the man steer him toward the woman, but Benji resisted.
Take your hands off me,
Benji said, struggling free from the second guard.
I'll sue you if you touch me again. My mom's sister's husband works at a law firm.
You can call your parents from the director's office, the woman said. They can come get you after I fill them in on how you snuck in here.
Oh, man, Josh said, groaning. Couldn't you just call the police?
The woman gave him a funny look, then turned on her heels and clacked away. Josh glanced back at Jaden, who stood beside Mickey Jr. with a look of shock and worry on her face.